Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Thad Levine. Rolls down his window and he started to still say it's all about making that kick.
Joining us
tray.
In person here in Surprise, Arizona, the general manager of the Texas Rangers, the great John Daniels. How you doing, JD?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, man. So what do you think? Are we getting you back for another year? I mean, because we'd love to do another weekly with you this year. But if you come back, if you'd like a new song, we can go in the lab and make a new one.
My fee's the same as last year.
Oh, no.
See if you guys got that in the budget.
Yeah, we don't. But we're still going to harass you until we can get you
we'll
on. But
move some things around and see if we can make it work.
No, I'd love to join you guys, man.
That would be awesome. What do you have a favorite song or a favorite band or group or...
No, honestly, I kind of bounce around a little bit. I like music a lot. I'm terrible at the name that tune thing. I'm atrocious at it. I'm not even gonna throw out there, but I like a little everything. R&B, rap, classic rock. I listen to like modern or like current pop crap with my kids in the car.
It's amazing how they bring that back.
Yeah, I'm listening to been listening to like Chris Cornell lately. So,
oh, cool,
kinda random.
How'd you get back on that? Because I do that. I like go away from artists. And like so recently I heard his reheard his cover of Nothing Compares to You, the Prince Sinead O'Connor song.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
I don't know why. I've been listening to his Pandora station here a lot lately.
Yeah.
Like just either on a drive or on a run or something like that.
I always go through those phases where I come back to something and throw myself way into it and then forget about it and come back to it a year later. But that's that definitely happens with classic artists like that.
Now I'm super excited about the future of the Rangers. Obviously the Keone trade was fantastic. The Profar trade, talking to scouts and people out here about the early returns are great. And there's a lot of young talent in the organization. In terms of what makes you the most excited about the future of your ball club? Playing in air conditioning in Arlington eventually beyond this season, just the bigger picture. What gets you the most excited looking forward?
Well, I mean, listen, ultimately the game's about the players, and I'll hit on some of those guys, the waves of guys in the system. Some of them are up here in the big leagues or will be this year, but we got a good thing going on right now with some of the new people, some of the people that have been here a while. Everybody seems to be meshing really well. I know that, it kind of sounds from a fan standpoint, it's like that should be the case, but
right.
It's hard. We got 190 people in baseball operations. And to get everybody kind of clicking together, on the same page, working together, check your ego at the door type deal, like, that's a big deal. And we spent a lot of time on that this winter. And obviously hiring Woody and hiring the staff, like, they're really leading the way there. I mean, there's tremendous content and presentation of the players of information. But more than that, it's, like, just the way they're going about it. And it's just real, like, selfless, egoless type atmosphere that I think Woody's really created with his personality and how authentic he is, and that's allowing like a ton of good work to get done. And the same thing on the development side. Brought in Matt Blood to complement Danny Clark and Mike Daly and Paul Kruger and Corey Ragsdale and all those guys, and like we're getting a lot done on the backfield. So I'm expecting to see some like big jumps from our guys this year, because I believe in I know it's cliche to like the process of. I know it's a Jason Garrett term. You got people kind of associate it, but it's true. Like you put the work in, like the deliberate work in, and kind of trust the process. Long, like, you're going to get rewarded for it. And we have good athletes. We have talent, and now I think we have like people in place that are going to really develop these guys.
When you go into, you're heading into spring, and you have all your players, and they're all coming to camp. Do you kind of have in mind where you think by the end of the camp? Each one of those players will go, hey, they're going to be on the 25. Hey, he's going to be AAA. He's going to be AA. And if you do have that projection, How often is there a big surprise when you actually emerge from camp?
So we try to not to have like too dramatic of a surprise. You don't want to get fooled in spring training and or do something that's going to really like short circuit a guy's growth. But yeah, at the beginning of camp, of you know, we had 60 something guys in camp, and we have a meeting. We kind of lay out like, all right, hey, Elvis Andrus is major league shortstop, right? Whereas Carlos Toksi is in competition to be, you know, fourth outfielder slash like slated to be Nashville center fielder. So I mean, you kind of narrow it down. There are guys that are, you know, truly in competition. A guy like Brett Martin, for instance, probably came in maybe a little bit more on the outside looking in as far as like whether is he truly in competition. He had 70 RA in Double A last year. Guy's putting a ton of work in. He's coming. He's throwing the hell out of it right now. And you know, we're open minded to that. You know, guy making that kind of a jump. But that's probably as big of a leap. I wouldn't see. We're not gonna, you know, some pitcher like really throws really well in the backfield. I wouldn't see us breaking with him right now.
Right.
You know, I might put him on the radar for a little earlier season consideration, but not to, you know, leapfrog everybody and really change our plans that dramatically.
So you talk about 190 people working in baseball operations. That's massive. And there's been a lot of talk about this offseason. You guys did a lot of reflection and internal looking at yourselves and figuring out ways you can get better. What were the areas in which you guys have focused, and what are some of the things you guys are doing differently?
Probably the two areas that we probably have spent the most time on. I mean, obviously, we made some major changes at the major league level, but and this the big leagues are an extension of both of these. You know, the probably research and development and player development, probably the two areas that were made the most changes, basically. We started last summer just kind of sitting back. It was May or June, and we had up in a meeting room on, like, whiteboards basically around, like, two sides of the room. Like, we wrote down everything that we do as an organization, every task, every, you know, some big, some small, administrative, development, scouting, research, and on top of that, that was, like, in black. And then in each area, in each department, we'd write in red, like, the things that we're not doing that we think we need to be doing more of, or that we are doing a little bit, but we really need to, like, take it to another level. And then we set out and we said, all right, you know, how are we currently structured? And now how would we structure ourselves if there were no sacred cows, no one under contract, you're an expansion franchise. You don't have to worry about playing a big league game for 3 years. How would you structure the department? You know, truly like utopian and no holds barred, like if we got the keys to a brand new franchise. And then we basically said, all right, now how do we move as close to that as possible? Understand that we do have some limitations and we don't want to flip everything on its head. We like a lot of things that we're doing, and I think a lot of the things that we're doing now came out of that exercise. I mean, that's kind of how it started. And, you know, do we have all the right people? Do we have the right people in the right positions? It's been a lot of work, but it's been really rewarding.
Talking to John Daniels here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm curious about that process in general. You know, you said it's been rewarding. Is there a part of it that when you evaluate things, you're like, man, I was doing this wrong, or we were doing this wrong?
For sure.
Is there a part of that, though, that is frustrating, or is it still just the kind of exhilaration of, oh, I'm moving towards correcting something? Self-reflection and trying to figure out flaws is a strange process for anybody to go through.
So it's all kind of your perspective, right? I mean, you could let it crush you and say, gosh, what were we doing? That's in the past,
right?
You know? And let me take a step back. I don't want to minimize the good things that are going on here either, you know? And that's one thing that we've encouraged our people to like embrace a culture of change, and embrace, but at the same time, you know, nobody wants to be like some of the folks on our development side have done some really good things.
You
know, there's a lot of groundwork's been laid, and it's this young group, and here's Jose Leclerc getting rewarded today, and like because they did a heck of a job with them, and so you know, it's not, you walk that fine line. You don't want to send the message of like, hey, we're flipping this thing on its head because we don't like what's going on. That's not really the case at all. But, you know, we got to swallow hard and, like, be willing to take some, like, honest, critical feedback from others, from ourselves, and not look at it as anything but what it is. Hey, it's an opportunity for us to get better. Like, the tip of the cap, like, ownership has given us this opportunity. You know, we built it once here. We've had, some people have to go somewhere else to kind of build it again.
Right.
And ownership said, no, like, we want to know what's the plan, but we buy into it, and, like, you're going to get the opportunity to do it here again. And I think everybody, every 101 through 190, the people in that room, I take that pretty seriously and are excited about it.
You mentioned Jose Leclerc. He gets an extension announced today, and and we've been talking about a little bit on the show. He truly, you know, you could make the case that he's the best player on your team right now. I mean, he is truly elite at what he does. What was it that made you say, all right, we got to get this deal done?
I think one, just like he is that guy, right? He is from a competitive advantage standpoint, and he is
everyone,
among the best
I
in
have
the game.
Some
what
news
he does,
to share with
by some measures,
Hi,
maybe
everyone.
Was the best really
I have some
game
news
last year.
To share with all of you.
But he's certainly
in keeping
in great
with
company.
My long-time policy of being
25
open
years old.
And
you know, we've seen him from day one. You know, when he signed for $90,000, he wasn't a big prospect. He wasn't a big, you know, big sign.
Overblown or inaccurate.
And
reports
he's just gotten better year after year. He's gotten through some challenges.
I wanted to be the one to pass along this information.
And we tried to start him 1 year.
Just like.
But I think he saw when he struggled the end of 17. I think he was like, you know what, like I'm not letting that happen to me again. He got himself in unbelievable shape. Every day you'll see him out there down the right field line early at 1 o'clock, 1:30, just working out there on his own, killing it.
And with the love and support of my family and friends, and with
not just the job, but earned like our trust that. You know, he's not satisfied. He's going
to
keep going. And
the low survival
I love, too, what it stands for as far as all those kids in the backfield. That
I have to.
You know,
because under the terms of my contract,
the opportunity
I have
to
host Jeopardy
for
3 more years.
Like, here's a guy
who
truly earned it. And,
keep the faith.
We're excited
and we'll win.
Great success, as they like to say. All right, so this was a really exciting moment for us this morning, J.D. It was me and Ben and KT, and we're walking up. We're getting ready to go to the clubhouse, and it's somewhat early. And we see Josh Boyd out there, and we've known Josh for a while. Great guy. And he's talking to somebody, and we start BSing with Josh and talking. And he introduces us to Ross Fenstermaker. And it was such a majestic moment.
Great hair.
He exists. You guys really have someone in your organization named Ross Fenstermaker.
You don't?
No, we don't. We it is the most fascinating name because it's like a name Fletch would make up. Right.
Yeah. So there's three things that stand out about Ross. One is, well, he's actually really good at what he does, but that was not going to be one of the things I was going to reference. He is really good. But the name, the hair, and he's got an uncanny resemblance to Eric Trump.
Oh, no. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. That was at our org meetings. That was thrown up on the presentation board for a little levity in the middle of it to. You know, kind of break it up.
Yes.
We separated at birth moment.
We had Michael on. We pre-recorded an interview. We're going to air it here in the next few days. But it's always a pleasure catching up with him. How have you seen him, I don't know, grow or evolve in terms of the front office side of things as he's been working with you?
Well, it's funny. Sometimes he'll say something. And it'll kind of like shake himself. He's like, God, I sound like a suit there. Well, you're a suit, man. No, it's been cool. Like he's obviously he gets the player side, the field side, the coaching side. That's where he's spent most of his adult life. But he's really like dove in head first. And a lot of guys that we're fortunate in that a lot of our guys, and Michael and Colby and Darren Oliver, like. These guys, when they go out to an affiliate, they get there early. They stay for 9 innings. They talk to the players. Like Dio will go sit down in the bullpen and like truly like mingle with them. And Michael is as big of a star as any of them. And like, I mean, he just humbles himself. He's very approachable. He's good relationships with a bunch of the younger players. He likes to go into the minor leagues and spend time there. And so that's pretty unique from our standpoint. But then he'll also come in, sit in there off season, trade deadline, sit in on managerial interviews, coaching interviews, farm director interviews. Like he wants to talk about our minor league hitting philosophy. I would love to have even more of his time. But as he put it, if he wanted a full time job, he would have kept playing. Mm-hmm.
right.
And obviously Christina and the boys are his first priority. But when he's with us, it is like some kind of locked in and. He loves it.
All right. So one of your early mentors, John Hart. All right. So I'm going to ask you this really weird abstract question. So John Hart goes on vacation overseas for 2 years and has no access to internet. Right. He just immersed himself in whatever's going on in Europe. And he comes back 2 years later and he goes, hey, what's up, JD? So, man, I've been out of the mix. Tell me about your rotation. What are you guys doing? How would you break it down to John Hart if he's been away from baseball for 2 years, has no idea what's going on with the organization? How would you describe what's going on with y'all's rotation?
I didn't know where you were going with that. I
ended up somewhere,
right? Trying to stay ahead of you.
Yeah.
I didn't follow. No, so what I would tell him is that I think organizationally we're kind of in between two spots, mm-hmm. meaning that we've had a long run of success. Did not have a good year last year, and we probably are at least another year away from, being able to. I think we might introduce some of our young starters into the big leagues this year, but I think we're at least a year away before we can kind of rely on it and anything, or have some competition where they're walking out of here with one or two or three spots in the rotation. So what we tried to do was similar like last year with Mike Minor, commit to a guy in Lance Lynn that we felt could really help us. Maybe there were some traits there that we thought might play extra, even better. And then we looked for values, and so we got three guys coming off of missing a year and a half or close to 2 years with TJ, Volquez and Smiley and Shelby Miller. They're all healthy and throwing well. And, now we just kind of fine tune it a little bit. And hopefully, who knows, maybe they end up here long term, but at a very least, they can give us a chance to be competitive and give us a little time to let the Hearns and Burks of the world develop a little more.
Okay, and I don't remember the timeline, so I'm pretty sure involved in this point, but it's interesting that you bring up Volquez, because there was a time where all the talk was about DVD mm-hmm. and these young arms coming up. Where were you in the organization at that point? Were you here yet, or is that the very beginning?
I was. So I was my first year was 2002 in the organization, and Danks was drafted in 03. Volquez was already in the system.
We had a play at third.
Bases loaded, line drive at Ibanez. He couldn't quite corral it, so run scored. So Volquez was already signed. He was in, short season or A-ball. Danks was drafted in 03 out of high school, and Diamond was drafted in 04 out of college. Okay. So I was in the front office at the time.
All right. John Daniels, join us on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. In terms of, who are that? You mentioned some of the guys that are going to be knocking on the door. We know you got a lot of guys in single A, but you mentioned Taylor Hearn. There's some older guys that are probably a lot closer. Who are some of those guys in terms of starting pitching prospects that are right there?
Yeah, I think, two guys that have already had a little bit of big league time are Yohander Mendez out here today and Jurado. They're competing for... if somebody did get hurt, spot or even a long guy in the rotation. I think the next four guys, maybe have even a little bit higher ceiling than that. And Hearn, you touched on there, came over from Pittsburgh. Had a full year at Double-A. Joe Palumbo and Jonathan Hernandez finished the year at Double-A, kind of two homegrown pitchers for us. And then Brock Burke that we got from Tampa Bay. So I think that group of four, three left-handers, and then Jonathan Hernandez – probably are higher upside guys that are pretty close and could all, they're all high enough on the radar where they could get a look this year.
How would you profile Burke? I've heard his name several times since we've been here, and obviously because of the trade and stuff. But what kind of a pitcher is he?
Very big, physical, athletic left-hander, plus fastball that really gets on hitters, 92 to 96. And he touched 7 out here, but he's going to pitch 92 to 95 for the most part, 93 to 95. Good slider and developing changeup. And kind of a little bit of a late bloomer. From Colorado, some of those cold weather states, takes guys a little while. But also from a organization in Tampa that does a great job with starting pitching development. So I think he's had some advantages as far as coming up in their system and then he's had time. He was a multi-year rookie ball guy that they didn't rush, and hopefully we're going to reap the benefits of that.
One of the things I like to do is talk to catchers and say, hey, who's really stood out to you? No agenda or anything. Just, hey, what are you seeing? Who are the guys that – and obviously, guys, the catchers talk about Hearn a lot. They talk, say it looks effortless. It reminds me – the description, I haven't seen him pitch, but it reminds me of Neftali. I know he's a lefty and probably didn't throw quite as hard, but – people used to say that about Feliz, too, like it was somewhat effortless.
Easy, yeah, came out easy.
It looks easy. He said coaches have all along have said, hey, man, imagine how, if you really tried, how hard you throw the ball?
And then
he said they'd get behind the gun. They go, oh no, you're trying. You're good. Yeah. You're good. So what do you make of that effortless delivery?
I think the other piece of it, and Burke is similar in that, like, you know, you don't see the ball when you sit directly behind the plate, or more importantly, when you're the hitter in the box, like, you know, the ball stays inside the width of their body for a long time. And so I think that makes it really tough for hitters to kind of time them up. And sometimes when guys' fastballs play maybe a little bit better than you would think they would, it's because the guys can't see it. And I think Taylor can do that.
Talking to John Daniels here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Maybe this doesn't matter, and I didn't really think about it until you mentioned Tampa does a good job developing pitchers. When you're making moves for younger players, how much credence do you put in the organization they come from in terms of – because you guys are going to do your own thing with them, but
yeah.
How much does that matter?
It matters somewhat because, you know, if we think, hey, we can do X, Y, or Z, or we see, you know, his slider is really good, but maybe it's a little underutilized, or – I mean, organizations that are more on top of those things are going to be a little less gold to mine. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know, they're going to have already kind of – I'm not saying like totally maximize every organization. You know, Tampa's—they do an amazing job. Like, you know, they've traded guys that have at young ages that have become very good. I mean, it's not nobody's perfect, but that is something that we'll pay attention to. Certain organizations that maybe teach things better than others, that there's less opportunity to develop the guy further ourselves, and vice versa. Some organizations that we know maybe don't focus in certain areas, there could be an opportunity to develop. I think the bigger piece for us, though, is like, you know, we're focused on being one of the organizations that other teams look at that way,
right?
And you know, we're not there yet, but I don't think we're far away, honestly.
So this is perfect timing. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa just rips a double off the wall in left field and, you know, slides into second base with ease. Okay, so I wanted to ask you a question about him. It's such an unorthodox, unique project. Like, you sit here and talk to catchers, and they talk about framing and the footwork and all these different things. And, you know, he's so unique. He's fast. He's athletic. He moves around so well behind the plate. But he's kind of, not to say he doesn't already know how to catch. He obviously does. He's a catcher in the majors. But he's kind of learning on the fly at the major league level. What is the upside here? Like, what is the plan here? What do you see in this player?
Well, it was interesting. We had him and this other young catcher, Josh Morgan, and both were high school shortstops, Kiner from Hawaii and Josh from California. And Josh was, I want to say, a third-round pick. Kiner was a little later. And at the time, you know, Josh was kind of maybe thought of a little bit higher than him. And we thought they both kind of went through the catcher conversion program around the same time. But Josh was the focus. And he's still doing well. He's going to catch in Frisco for us this year. But Kiner just it came so easy to him. You know, physically, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of things like this in basketball or football too, but like, there's certain positions that you need to get, you know, your body needs to get into to catch. And like, he just, you know, the baseball term, they use the phrase, like, he folds up easily, folds up. And like, mm-hmm. It's just the way his hips worked, his body worked. Like, he was able, very athletic, and like instantly kind of fell into it. And he does some things unorthodox back there, but, you know, that's kind of to be expected. He hasn't caught forever. And I think, you know, Don Wakamatsu, Hector Ortiz at the big league level, and the guys in the minor leagues have done a good job of letting him be him. You know, hey, you know, there's some stuff they got to try to clean up, but they're not going to try to make him a, you know, picture perfect, paint by numbers kind of guy. Like, the uniqueness is part of what he brings to the table.
We were talking to Jose, and he was talking about hips in regards to catching. What is it that you want? You want him to be able to have more flexibility in the joints, or what is it you're looking for?
I think the flexibility is big. I mean, you know, if you try to, like, sit down there in a crouch for, like, a long period of time, it can be challenging.
I'm 48, so I'm struggling just to sit here right now exactly. And do radio.
You almost fell over.
Yeah,
I saw it a minute ago.
So difficult.
And then, like, you know, when guys block and have to slide kind of side to side, or, you know, fast guys have to pop up out of the crouch and make a throw down to the base. I mean, like, the obviously leg strength is enormous, but the flexibility piece is huge. So these guys can't just be, you know, they can't get too thick and whatnot. And certain guys, like, even like a bigger guy, like Rene Rivera was catching earlier for the Giants, or obviously Benji Molina, like, mm-hmm. they're extremely flexible. Even mm-hmm. though they're, you know, they're big men and whatnot, they're very flexible for their size.
So another pitcher that everybody's talking about, whether it's people following Rangers prospects or players, is Hans Kraus. he sounds like a guy who is just fiercely competitive, like loses himself into the game in a good way, mm-hmm. and just comes to compete every time he steps on the mound. So what is it about him that is so special and has so many people talking?
For me, he's a guy that just like he likes to compete. He likes to have fun. You know, I mean, he's not. I like that. I like players that show a little of emotion that aren't afraid to like either have fun out there. You don't want anybody showing somebody up, right? So that's, I know people get into like, you know, whether it's a bat flip or somebody yelling on the field, or like, for me, like that when it's for you or your teammates, I never have an issue. When it's kind of like in the face of the other team, like that's. Mm-hmm. But Hans doesn't really do that. He's like uber competitive. He'll do the little Johnny Cueto shimmy shake on the mound, but he's athletic enough and has a body control where he can do that and then execute a pitch. He's got a really good slider, and he's a guy we're excited about.
He's like 6'5"? How tall is he?
I'd say Hans maybe probably about 6'3", 6'4".
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big dude, though.
I knew he was a big dude, and then just in my mind, he looks like a Bond villain if his name is going to be Hans Krauss, right?
He does kind of. He has like that kind of look to him.
Yeah. Got a little sinister, something sinister going on?
It's like a big smile, though. It kind of throw you off, you know? But I could see him playing a Bond villain.
Is this where is he on his track?
He's going to have his first full year in A-ball this year. I think he's a guy that, you know, we'll see. I mean, he hasn't kind of got. He's been in short season. He's had like some little minor injury hiccups that, you know, we don't think are long term issues, but that slowed him down here the first year and a half. So I think this is the first year kind of like let him get out, you know, really get going. And my sense is this year will be kind of more traditional, and hopefully next year is the year where everything goes well. He can really start making a push.
Is there a way that Hunter Pence, Chu, and Calhoun all find their way onto the opening day roster, or is that a little bit of a logjam?
It could happen. It's not the most flexible roster for us. You know, the issue is not so. It's partially getting them on there and carrying a 13th pitcher and having a utility infielder. I mean, that becomes a challenge, but it's also getting at bats for them all. You know, so we're still working through it. It's, you know, we got 3 weeks to figure it out, but that's. You know, definitely something that we've got to solve for.
How does, I mean, we've talked a lot about, or people have talked a lot about Willie losing weight. How does his game look?
He's done a couple things here that stand out to me. I mean, listen, he's going to hit. He hasn't had, you know, big offensive week or so, but it's a week in spring training that's really irrelevant. I think he knows how to hit. He's going to hit in time when he kind of needs to relax and get some things ironed out, and he will. But he's gone like first to third a couple times that, you know, like that were like bang bang plays that like I don't think he would have even tried for last year. And then playing left field, he's made two throws. One was in Tempe. Peter Borges hit a double down the line, like a rocket into the corner. Borges a plus runner.
Yeah, he can fly.
I thought it was like a clear stand up double. I think Borges did too. You know, he starts like pulling up, and then you saw Borges about halfway to second base, like turn it back on because Calhoun came up and threw a one hop strike to second base and made Borges slide. He was safe. But like a year ago, you know, Willie like runs into the corner, gets it, and like flips it to third base.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And he was like, no, he's like, I've been working on my game. I'm going to show it off here a little bit. And
awesome.
It was cool.
Is Matt Davidson, is he legit a guy that's going to play in the field and pitch?
I think so. Yeah. I think, you know, he's always been. He always had big power. He's always had a good arm. You know, played first, played third. He's done some things with his swing that are pretty interesting right now. And our guys are. Yeah, he did that on his own this winter, and our guys are kind of taking it from there. But he's been interesting. Maybe a little, honestly, probably more interesting than we even necessarily expected to bring into camp. But he's also like gung ho about pitching. And Julio Rangel, our pitching coach, took him out through a bullpen and. Matt, he said Matt was walking around carrying his bat bag. Like, where do we go? So, first of all, put that down. Put that down. Like, here's a glove. Here's some bands. Like, Matt's like, I don't know what any of this is. So they go out and they throw, and Julio's like, all right, like, you know, can you hit? They have this drill thing set up. He's like, can you hit the target? And he's like, which one here? And Julio's like, the one at the top of the zone. He's like, whack, whack, you know, just like hits it like every time. And Julio, you know, with some hair on it. And he's like, all right, let me see you spin a couple breaking balls. And he was like, you know, just a couple power hammers. And Julio was like, holy cow. You know, like, he's like, hey, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm just going to kind of stand back here and make sure you don't, you know, do anything to bother your arm or anything like that. But he says he's got natural. He was a high school pitcher. That's what Matt said when we signed him. He said a lot of guys that convert are position players that can't hit but have always had a good arm. Matt's kind of the opposite. He was actually a pitcher first in high school. Then he started hitting in high school. He's kind of scrapped the pitching along the way, except for a couple mop-up deals here or there, and he's excited about just making it a tool in his bag, you know, and I think it could really help him get an opportunity with us.
That's a fun story. Well, John, we always love it when we come out here and get a chance to spend a couple segments with you. We thank you for the time, and looking forward to this year, man.
Me too. Thank you, guys.
It's going to be awesome. Appreciate there you. He goes, John Daniels, GM of the Texas Rangers.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.